First given honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the deacons, and to each and every one of you. Truly, it's a blessing to be in the house of prayer one more time. Amen. Amen. I was telling the deacons in the back, I said, it's better to be seen than viewed. Amen. That's something to shout about, ain't it? Amen. Happy New Year's to each and every, happy belated New Year's to each and every one of you. Amen. That song just touched my heart and I start thinking about Jesus Christ coming back. And I said, when he come back, he lets me know that the battle is over. He lets me know that no more sickness, no more crime, no more crying. He also let me know that there'll be no more trouble. That lets me know that trouble don't last always. Amen. We shall behold him face to face. Boy, when I see Jesus, when I see Jesus, I ain't gonna do nothing but say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. And the reason I'm thanking him is because he looked beyond all my faults. And he showed us all my needs. And he met my needs. That's what I'm so glad about. We serve an awesome God, a great God. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come right now, Lord. We thank that sister for that beautiful soul. We shall behold you. And one day we will see you face to face. So, Father, we say thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, now, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to break bread with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that you hide me behind the cross, so people see less of me and more of you. Father God, you've been good to me, better than I've been to myself. So I can't do nothing but say thank you. Forgive me for all the wrong that I've done in the name of Jesus. Now let the words from my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength when I feel weak sometimes. My strength when I want to throw in the towel sometimes. My strength when people talk about me, my strength and my redeemer, and the people of God say amen. Amen, amen, amen. I ask that you please turn with me to Acts, the 28th chapter. We're going to be reading from verse 1 through 6. Acts, the 28th chapter. When you have it, say amen. If you're still looking, say wait on me. And if you can't find it, just do like I used to do a long time ago. Just open up the Bible and just act like you know where it's at. Amen. Come on, y'all been there too. We all God's children been there. Amen. Amen. Now, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives, which were barbarians, showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said that he was a God. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you the reading, hearing, and the doing of his word. Amen. I would like to use as a text, a theme, shaking off the snakes in 2022. Shaking off the snakes in 2022. Now, let me give you a little bit of background. In Acts, the 26th chapter, Festus was talking to Paul, and he had all these people come forward to accuse Paul of something. Amen. And then on chapter 27, Festus had Agrippa. Agrippa was in town, and him and Bernice, and one thing about it, Agrippa said, let me talk to him. So they brought Paul to Agrippa. And Paul started talking to Agrippa and was letting Agrippa know that you know what I'm talking about. Because you know about the prophets, you know about Moses, you know about all this. And then he was letting him also know that this is what I experienced on the road to Damascus. Amen. And he started talking to him about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, you know all that. And Festus said, Paul, you done lost your mind. You mad, right? And Agrippa told him, he said, Paul, you almost persuaded me. So after that, they get on the boat. And the boat of Alexandria, and they headed out. Because Paul had to get to Rome, right? He had to talk to Caesar. And we know what happened. But as they were sailing on that boat, the water, the tempest, the wind, it started moving the boat and moving it they were moving around so fast, he never had that trouble before in a boat. And the angels had talked to him and said, have everybody stay on the boat. He said, I'm gonna save everybody. God's gonna save everybody, but stay on the boat. So Paul started talking to him because they start throwing stuff overboard. And the soldiers, the centurions want to kill the prisoners. And he said, don't bother nobody. We are going to be saved. Amen. God's going to save us. So they didn't eat for a few days. And Paul said, you know, we've been abstaining from eating. Let's eat. And you know, when I looked at that, I said to myself, Lord, here it is. This boat is like it's moving and we're going to die. And he's saying, let's eat. Amen. He said, let's eat. But you know, sometimes God does things. Well, I put it like this. God does things that even our mind can't imagine. Right. Amen. And they sat down to eat and he broke bread. And he said, don't worry about nothing. We're going to make it to the shore. Amen. And one thing about it, after they got close to the shore, the boat aground. In other words, it became in shallow water where it hit the ground. And it started tearing up.
Right.
Well, the prisoners and the soldiers, they grabbed some of the boards on the boat and they made it to shore. And when they made it to shore, they call them the barbarians, but they were natives. And he said that they introduced themselves to him and said, you know, come over here by the fire, get warm, we're gonna take care of you. But see, in the midst of all that, you can see God was working that thing out. Amen. He was working that thing out. And Paul, a faithful witness to the life-changing power of Jesus Christ from the day when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul knew that Jesus wasn't going to fail, that he was going to be all right. So we all know that Paul was a mighty preacher, amen, of the gospel of grace until he gave his life for the Lord in Rome. Paul, who said, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him sacrificed. Amen. Crucified. As we look at this passage this morning, we find Paul on his way to Rome to stand trial before Caesar, where he would eventually lay down his life as a faithful martyr for Jesus Christ. Amen. And then we see that also in here that the angels had to comfort Paul. Amen. He had to comfort Paul. amen. And once they made it to shore, they were met by friendly natives. Paul started gathering wood to put in the fire. He started gathering wood to put in the fire a viper that was hibernating due to cold and rain was quickly revived when he went into the fire. Bites Paul as it was hanging onto his hand. He shakes the snake off, and the natives were waiting to see what would happen. And I, you know, where I used to work at, I used to work for the LA County Department. I still work for the LA County Department of Public Works, but they have a lot of different units, a different section. And the about the first 8 years, I was in flood control. And I was working up in the mountains with some more brothers, and it had rained and the wood had gathered up, so we wanted to burn it. So we gathered all the wood up to burn it. And lo and behold, I went down, it had to be nothing but the Lord. It was hibernated, it was cold. And I went down and I went to move the wood, and lo and behold, there was a rattlesnake in that hole, right? And I looked, and he looked, and I bagged back, and I told him, they said, Richard, get the wood. I said, man, I ain't getting that wood. There's a snake in that hole, right? So they went and they threw the snake out, and it had 15 rattles on it. That's how long that snake was, amen? And they said that you ain't a flood control person until you kill a snake. And I told them, well, I ain't a flood control person, because, you know, that snake needed this area, and I needed my area. So, you know, we were still friends, but he's going his way and I'm going mine. You know, so I know what Paul went through when he said the snake was hibernating. Amen. It was hibernating. You know, Paul faced a real trial. Amen. When he was bitten by that poisonous snake. But God in his mercy fulfilled his promise according to Mark 16:18, and spared his life, because Paul had to go to Rome. He had to go see, Caesar. Even though Paul was blameless, he had to go see Caesar. Amen. Now why the viper was the problem, Paul would face some far more deadly vipers that night. Snakes that had the power to ruin his life and end his ministry. And he shook off every single one of them. So this morning, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, I would like to point out not only the snakes that Paul faced on that island, but Christians face today the same poisonous snakes in some of the areas of their lives, in some of our homes, on our jobs, in our schools. Even our president faces deadly snakes. And I pray that you be encouraged and challenged and be warned. Those snakes out there, and they can latch on unto your life, your ministry, and try to defeat God's plan for us, not only as a church body, but as individuals. So I want to encourage you and challenge you. I would like to give you 3 points, and then I'm through. Amen. The first point is you have to shake off the snakes of crisis. Look at verse 3 of our text. You'll see Paul was at the moment in a real crisis, because that viper could have claimed his life. But as you know, God took care of the poison. But here is the problem. Though the crisis came when Paul was engaged in doing good, we as people of God, bought with a price, baptized, born again believers, seem to believe that our faithful service to the Lord is some kind of shield against the troubles in our life. Just look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Job, Daniel, Elijah, the disciples. Matter of fact, Jesus had a crisis in his life. Listen, trouble is part of all of our lives. And when it does come, my friends, it can derail our faith, because we often feel as though God is holding out on us. We even feel sometimes, just because we are striving under construction believers, We deserve better treatment than we're receiving. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm here to tell you, if you feel that way, you need to do like Paul did and put your faith in the promises of the Lord and believe in him for the help you need. In our time of trouble, we have been given some of Jesus' very precious promises, his presence, his victory, his purpose, his plans, his power, and he still moves heaven and earth. He will move heaven and earth to meet our needs. Amen. He will move heaven and earth to meet our needs. The next point is to shake off the snakes of criticism. Amen. We all been there. We threw out some criticism and we received some criticism. Amen. Amen. And according to verse 4, as soon as Paul was bitten by the snake, the people on the island began to criticize him. You see, they were a very suspicious people, and they assumed that the viper bit Paul because of some evil in his life. Yes. My brothers and sisters, there are times when you have trouble in your life. It ain't because something you done something. It's because your faith is being tested. Amen. God wants you to be able to stand. He wants you to be a tree by the rivers of water. And when you by the river of water, your roots get stronger. Amen. I'm reminded of Job. Job was a good, he was a righteous man. Had everything. Job had it going on. You know, I look at Job, he had more money than the guy that owned Teslas. Job had it going on. He had more than Bill Gates. Amen. Job had it going on. And one thing about it, when all this trouble happened to him, he never blamed God. His wife even said, you ought to curse God and die. And what he said, you foolish woman. Amen. You foolish woman. That's how come you never saw her again. Amen. You never saw her again. Amen. But Job stood in there even when his health got bad. Job stood up. But his friends criticized him. Come on, you done something. You had to do something. You know, if you confess with your mouth, you know, Job, you just tell us what you done. Job didn't do nothing. But God tested faith because the devil came up to God and told him that he would turn against you. You see, and God told him, he said, now look, devil, I'm paraphrasing it. He said, now look, devil, you can do anything you want with him, but his soul belongs to me. Amen. The devil could do anything he wants to us, but your soul belongs to the Father. Amen. That's good news, ain't it? That's good news. And we all, let me tell you, just because you a believer in Christ, don't think you're going to always have good days. You're going to have some bad days. You see, we come in here, we shouting hallelujah, hallelujah. But then you go to the doctor and the doctor say, you know what, you got cancer. When you walk through the door, you wash it to your seat. Amen. You need to shout because God is good. Amen. God is good. I know he's good. I know he's good. Because he looked way beyond my faults and he met my needs. See, I should have been dead on my way to hell. You see, but God had Jesus to come and save me. And he saved me by going to that old rugged cross. Amen. He went to that old rugged cross. Amen. And he said, these people said, well, Paul, God is punishing you because you're a wicked man. Amen. You know, church, people are quick to criticize you when they do not understand what they see and hear. Amen. Some of you today, including myself, have been objects of criticism of others. So you're not alone. The Bible said, what's going on in your life? Don't think you're the only one. It's happening all around the world. And you just remember this. People are praying in New York, and you pray here, God hears both your prayers. Oh, yeah. Amen. God hears both your prayers. Yeah. Amen. And God, he got three answers. Yes, no, and wait. And wait. You see, God ain't always a yes man. I'm glad he said no in my life. I'm glad he shut some doors in my life. Amen. I'm glad he said, no, Richard, you wait. You need to pray more. You need to worship me more. You need to give me a little bit more of your time. Then after you do that, maybe I'll say yes. Amen. But I'm thankful that he has me to wait. I'm thankful when he say no, because God looks way beyond. Way beyond. And he know where we're leading. Where if we say yes, when God gives it to you, it's going to do you good. Because all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and to them who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Some of the greatest people who have ever lived have been criticized by others. Israel criticized Moses for everything that went wrong. Amen. They murmured when they were hungry, thirsty, tired. Look at what happened to Job. He lost everything he had, including his health. And his so-called friends after a while began to tell him he had to have done something to cause his trouble. Matter of fact, Jesus faced criticism from his enemies. Even Peter called himself criticizing Jesus. Y'all remember? You see, and Jesus had to put him in his place. Ain't y'all glad Jesus put us in our place? Ain't y'all glad Jesus give us a reality check? Amen. And he whips us. Amen. I remember when I used to get whippings from my mom. When I stood back, it let me know she can swing harder. But I was smart. I started getting closer. So the hard part would go by me, and I'll get the easy part that's right there, but it still hurt it. It still hurt it. But I thank God for those whippings, because I can stand here and say I ain't been to jail. You see, I learned respect from them whoopings. Amen. But now we time out. Amen. But the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Amen. I remind what Fisher said. He said, if you have to whoop your child and they show webs, keep them home from school. So can't nobody see them, and rub them down, and then let them go back when the webs are gone. Let me tell you, man, my parents, they were some whipping folks, and we were some bad kids. Amen. Amen. My mother used to always say, Richard, it's your birthday today. You're going to get a whipping. And I look and wonder, well, Mama, why am I going to get a whipping? She said, because you're going to be bad today. And lo and behold, I would get a whipping because I would have done something. But what I'm trying to say is, now don't get me wrong. There are times when we need criticism. Oh, yeah. Amen. We need criticism from brothers and sisters in Christ to put us back on track. Amen. To put us back on track, to show us the errors of our ways. But there are other times when we're doing our best and still we're criticized, misunderstood, misrepresented. And if we're not careful, criticism will make us give up. If we always criticize new members that come to Christ, they're going to leave and they won't be back. Amen. We have to show them love and we have to help them along the way. Amen. Because somebody helped us. Somebody introduced me to Christ, you know, and the only thing that he said was, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And I said, why would Jesus love an old wretched man like me? And then he explained to me why Jesus loved me. Amen. So as I continue to grow, I start telling people, Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. He died for you. Amen. If you criticize me, I can take it, because I was in the military. And them drill sergeants, if you ever been in the military, the drill sergeants get in your face. And they'll tell you, you ain't got no more mother. I'm your mama. I'm your daddy, you know? And they, as they're talking there, you know, you have this thing about it. Well, you know, I can't do nothing because if I get mad, I'll go to jail. Then I got to come back out and do my time. So I've learned to accept criticism. But if I accept it, you need to accept it if I give it to you. But it be constructive, because what? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I look at some of you, you're my mom, you're my dad, you're my uncle, you're my brother, you're my sister. Amen. Because we're all in this together. Amen. And that's like Paul. Paul was saying, we're all in this together. But one thing about it, I got to go to Rome. I got to talk to Caesar. That's my last journey. That's it for me. Amen. And also it says, to tell the truth and shame the devil, it has happened to all of us where people criticize us. Even when we're doing good, they find fault in us. But that's okay. That's okay. They find fault, but God sees nothing but good. Amen. People like to have pity parties. They love pity parties. Amen. But I'm not going to be the one that's going to light a fire in that pity party. Amen. Okay. And it says that the senior saints used to have this thing. If you ain't never had no problems, ain't never been criticized, the senior saints used to say, just keep on living. Right. Just keep on living. Right. You know, there are some people that are just plain bitter. They're just plain bitter. Amen. I mean, everything that comes out their mouth is negative. They're bitter. Nothing good to say, bitter. Not encouraging words, bitter. Always putting down the church body, bitter. Always putting people down, bitter. I remember my teacher, Pastor Fierce, told our class at Bethany Christian Bible College, he was talking to an older man who prided himself in speaking his mind because that was his talent. Pastor Fierce told him that the Lord wouldn't mind if he buried all that mess. In other words, you should weigh your words carefully before you place the burden of them on others. My friends, what do you do when you face criticism? If you're like Moses or Joshua, you continue to faithfully lead the people. But if you're like Jesus, you go to the cross and die for your critics. You go to the cross and die for the criticism. You go to the cross and die for those who put you down. Amen. If you're wise, you will consider the source of the criticism. Always look and see who's criticizing you. Amen. Amen. Some people deserve to be listened to. Others do not, because they talk foolishness. Amen. But if you're wise, you will get your eyes off the critic and set your eyes on Jesus Christ. So shake off the snakes of criticism. Now, as we look at verse 6, it tells us that we need to shake off the snakes of cynicism, which is my third point. There are people that are sitting around watching Paul, waiting for him to swell up, fall down, and die. They expect a great fall. Don't you know that there are some people waiting for you to fall or fail? In fact, there are those who are looking for nothing good to come out your situation. How many of you have heard the word, you'll never make it? This church thing won't last. You will fail, you will fall, or this isn't real. You just wait and see. It's just a matter of time. Listen, if you're not careful, you will get that into your spirit and you will be defeated. But guess what? The cynics don't have the last word. You can prove your dollars wrong by your faithful obedience to Jesus Christ. That was Paul's, because no one but you determined the quality and length of your service to the Lord. There is not a critic or crisis that can drive you from him unless you allow it. That's why it's time to shake off the snakes of 2021. Don't bring those snakes in 2022. Amen. Some of us need to let some of them snakes, which are our so-called friends, go. Amen. Turn off your cell phone. Get off of Facebook. Get off of Instagram, because it's no good for you. Amen. It's no good for you. Shake off those snakes of critics. Amen. Every time they come around, they always talking about somebody. They didn't play right. They didn't sing right. They didn't pray right. They didn't work right. They're everything negative. Everything negative. Amen. Don't let that get in your spirit. Speak those things be not as though they were. Speak life in your situation. Speak life in your situation. People say you're gonna be a failure. Say no, I ain't. I got the right one by my side. Amen. That when I think I'm a fail, he'll say, no, you're not. You're going to hang on in there. I'm going to bring you through. I stop by to let you know that those snakes are just snakes. Amen. They go around. If they can't get you, they'll get somebody else. They are strategically placed in your house, in the church, and they're waiting for you to come in. If you come in with a bad attitude, that bad attitude snake going to come on you, and you'll sit in church and you have your arms folded. Okay, I'm here. Now move me. Amen. Amen. We all been there. We seen it. Amen. We seen snakes. Amen. And by being a child of God, when they come down the aisle or you meet them on the street, you look, God will show you that ain't nothing but a snake. All right. They wait. But I thank God for Jesus, because you can turn those snakes into good people. Amen. God can turn them around. Amen. Because I'm here to tell you, if truth be told, we were snakes. We were snakes. Amen. But God turned us around, and what he has done for us, he showed up a doing for them. Amen. I remember Paul said, I was a chief of sinners. Amen. And I said, well, if he was a chief of sinners, then let me see, what am I? I said, I'm a second lieutenant. Amen. Because I'm here to tell you, when I sinned, I was good at it. And you know what? I'm going to tell y'all, y'all was good at it too. Look how long you was in it till God brought you out. Amen. Because there is none that's good. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I thank God for Jesus, who came down through 42 generations. Amen. He was baptized in the Jordan River, had caused the blind to see, the lame to walk, the dumb to talk. Amen. I'm glad God brought Jesus on the scene. Amen. Because I'm here to tell you, there was a rumbling going on up in heaven around the altar, because God wanted to send somebody down to reconcile man back to him. Amen. He said, I can't send Abraham. He was alive. I can't send Daniel. I can't send David. He committed adultery, had somebody killed. You see, that rumbling kept going on. And God said, who's that? He said, that's my son. He said, Dad, I'll go and I'll die for him. I'll redeem man back to you. I'll reconcile man back to you. Let me go. God made a way out of no way for him. Amen. He was bruised for us. He was beat. He was chastised. They had put a crown of thorns on his head and beat it down on it. But thank God, when he went to that old rugged cross, he saw Richard going to come up. He's going to need me to die for him. Amen. He saw you coming up. He said, I'm going to have to die for the people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting. I thank God for Jesus. Amen. Because he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. I thank God for Jesus, because when they pierced him in the side, they said blood and water start coming down. That lets me know that he'll wash all your sins away. Amen. I thank God for Jesus, because they put him in that tomb. Amen. They put him in that tomb, and he stayed there 3 days and three nights. But early Sunday morning, he stepped out that grave. Amen. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Amen. That lets us know he defeated Satan. Amen. And they said the veil in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. Amen. That lets me know we ain't got to go to no priest. to ask for forgiveness. Because I always tell my Catholic friends at work, when they start talking about God and Mary, I said, when that veil was broken, I said, I don't have to ask the priest to give me some prayers of what I should say. I said, because for one thing, who is the priest praying to? Who is the priest talking to, asking for forgiveness? I said, I ain't got to worry about that. I just talk to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I talk to Jesus, who is my bridge over troubled water. I talk to Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. I talk to Jesus, the first and the last, because he has all power to allow us, give us strength to shake them snakes off for 2022. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all want to shake those snakes off? Amen. I'm ready to shake them snakes off because I got a great God. And he already told me, he said, Richard, he said, you just remember, you can do all things through Christ. That strengthens me. Amen. So I thank God. I shook them snakes off. I had to let some friends go. Amen. I had to let some friends go. I had to quit talking to people because they were just talking about negative stuff. I don't like to be around negative folks. Amen. That gets into my spirit and kind of make me, I don't know, but it ain't no good. Amen. I like to talk to people with positive attitude, people that's going to step out on faith. Amen. I like to talk to people that say we can do it instead of I don't know if we can do it. We can't do it. Hey, if you were Jesus Christ, you'd never fail because God would tell, he allowed Jesus to show us what to do and how to do it. Amen. Amen, somebody. Truly, truly, we have heard from the Lord. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come right now to say thank you, Lord. Father God, thank you for allowing us to hear a word from you about shaking the snakes off for 2022. Father God, we pray right now that you have your way, Father God, in our lives, Lord. And when you bring people around us, Father God, bring them good Christian, down-home Christian people in our lives that can help us grow, dear Heavenly Father. Help us be able to stand, dear Heavenly Father, against all this turmoil, all these snakes around us, Lord. We thank you right now, dear Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.